It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, it sure is. Good morning, everybody. He's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil on assignment today. We're kicking it old school.
As long as we're up and running.
There we go. Now we're good.
Everything's good.
Yeah, we're all good now. We're all set. Everything's fine. There's one more thing I have to do. If I can find it. There we go. I think we're good now.
You can do it, Kyle.
My man. Thanks for checking on that for me. all right. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. I think I should replay the intro for everybody on 1320 AM and 98.5 FM HD2 because nobody heard any of that.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
All right.
It's all good.
All right.
So we have a ton of stuff to get into today. We got Keon Ellis stuff to talk about. We got Dennis Schroeder rumors that have grown significantly at a very rapid rate that we'll talk about. We got to discuss Devin Carter, who you can confirm is going to be playing down in Summer League.
Yep.
We'll get to all that. I have a side quest that we need to go on first, though.
Uh-oh.
I desperately need the NBA reporter landscape. National reporters, not beat reporters like you, James, or all the fantastic people, Jason Anderson, Chris Biederman, Matt George and Kevin John and Jake Aiden and everybody who's down there. Tristan Rodriguez. I don't even want to start. Tony Ray Harvey. I don't even want to mention because I'm going to forget somebody. So if I Sean Cunningham, KCRA3, Sean Cunningham, salute. Everybody who's down there all the time. You get it.
Brennan Frankie.
Yeah. I know Jeremiah, obviously. Yeah. Mark Haynes. I think we've covered everybody now. But if we forgot your name, sorry. Salute. I'm talking about on the national side.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a big day in the NBA.
Of course it is.
3 p.m., the legal negotiating window opens. So deals can be agreed to. They cannot be official until July 6 when free agency starts.
Yep.
But this is the time of year where 999 deals out of 1,000 that get reported in this window between today at 3 p.m. and July 6th are done.
Like, yeah, I think the only one I remember was DeAndre Jordan backed out of a deal a couple of years ago and went to a different team. But overall, like, once you hear a deal that goes through here, it's typically done.
Yeah, everyone, same deal in the NFL. You know, there's the legal negotiating window in the NFL. It's like 2 days before free agency starts. And every once in a while, you'll get the guys who, like Frank Gore 1 year, had signed with the Eagles or agreed to a deal with the Eagles and then backed out.
Mm.
And so that's it happens every now and then. But if a deal's agreed to today, it's the deal that's going to be signed more than likely. So it's a big day.
Yeah.
I need, on the national NBA reporting side, for another 3-4 prominent national reporters to start being more prevalent in the news breaking scene.
Yeah.
Because I don't need Shams Charania today tweeting about Colin Gillespie. Like, a Shams tweet on a day like today is like, oh, what happened?
Yeah.
And to go, oh, hey, Shams. And it's freaking Colin Gillespie gets a 1 year fully guaranteed contract from the Suns. That's what we're doing, Shams? No, in the NFL has got, these are just the guys I can think of off the top of my head. Tom Pelissero, Mike Garofolo, Jesse Palmer breaks some stuff every now and then. You've got Jordan Schultz, who's just kind of out and about and around. You'll get some beat reporters every once in a while that break some national stuff. But there is a large amount of, I'll call them secondary national reporters. And then you've got Adam Schefter, you've got Ian Rappaport. They're going to break the big stuff typically.
Mm-hmm.
But for all these smaller things, all these smaller transactions, I just need somebody who's not Shams to tell me that Colin Gillespie got a 1 year deal. Like Shams, I need Shams to tell me, oh man, the Lakers are trading LeBron.
Yeah.
That's what I'm waiting on Shams for. Let somebody else, Shams, find a kid at ESPN. Find a you at ESPN that wants to go do the small stuff. You can be the new Woj. That's fine.
Yeah.
You need to bring in another Shams.
Yeah, I guess because, I mean, everyone has their alerts turned on, right?
Yeah.
And it just becomes like, what exactly is happening when, mm-hmm. like, these little tiny, like, transactions. Like,
yes.
Even, like, Shams didn't get into the Keon Ellis thing yesterday.
Right.
At all. I don't know if that's beneath him or if he didn't have the source, but
if
whatever.
He didn't have it first, he's going to just ignore it.
Well, no, typically he doesn't just ignore it. He just ignores who had it first.
You know what? That's a great point. He just reports it, yeah. breaks it, quote unquote, anyway. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, no, I mean, this is an exciting day. It's one of the biggest days in the year in the NBA, without any question, and it's one of those days where, like, you got to hold on to your hat because things are going to get weird, things are going to get crazy, and in the end, you're hoping that the Sacramento Kings get better, and that's all I think Kings fans are here for.
Yeah, yeah. I just desperately need Shams to stop telling me about these deals that don't matter.
Yeah.
That's all. Just give me two additional national guys who can break the small stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Anyways, let's get into the Keon Ellis thing, which Shams Charania did not break yesterday. That was actually you, James Hamm of the Kings Beat, kingsbeat.com. Subscribe today and subscribe to the Kings Beat podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Why did the Kings pick up Keon Ellis's option? I'm trying to, let me explain to you where I'm at with this.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to give Scott Perry and the new front office a measure of benefit of the doubt,
mm-hmm.
because they deserve it. They're new. They've got dealt a pretty tough hand.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, by picking up Keon Ellis's option, they've assured that he's going to play this year for $8 to $10 million less, maybe more, than he would have gotten had they declined his option.
Yes.
And extended him, or allowed him to hit restricted free agency where another team could give him an offer. So the Kings have ostensibly this year, and I understand the side of this, the business side. I understand why you don't want to rush the flexibility. You want to maintain financial flexibility. I've heard it. I got it. But also... it's not like he's going to make $20 million. It feels like the risk reward of maintaining some financial flexibility versus you might have just alienated your best or second best 3-and-D guy, one of the very few players you have like that on the perimeter, and allow him to become an unrestricted free agent next year.
Yeah. Okay. So this is so complicated, and you know, like, again, we have the whiteboard here. And I could probably whiteboard it out for a lot of people, but people on the radio can't see the whiteboard. So
Right. You
got to think of it this way. The Kings came into yesterday basically at $167 million in salary. If they bring Keon back, that jumps to $169. If they don't bring him back, it's $167, right? The luxury tax dollar is at $188. So let's just say that the Kings, with Keon Ellis under contract, are at $169 and the luxury tax is at $188.
Let me pause you real quick.
Yep.
With Keon on his team option.
On his team option.
Right. Okay. $2 million-ish.
$2 million, right? Yeah. So basically, as of right now, today, they have roughly $19 million between where they're at over the salary cap, but under the luxury tax.
Right.
And this matters. It does. And mm-hmm. it's not just whether they're cheap or whether they won't go into the luxury tax or anything like that. It has nothing to do with that. Once you get into the luxury tax, you start getting limited. Like, your mid-level right. exception goes away. All of these things start to go away, right? As a non-taxpayer, you have a better mm-hmm. mid-level exception than when you're a tax-paying team.
Mid-level, you're going to use to sign a point guard.
Exactly. So, like, they intend to sign a point guard today for roughly, you know, a full mid-level exception.
Agree to a deal with a point guard today.
Agree to a deal with a point guard. Like, I have it on good authority that they are about to agree to a deal with a point guard. There is a very, very good chance that they will sign a point guard today for $14 million starting pay. $14.1 million. That's the full mid-level exception. So start doing the math. That puts you at $183 million. You're now $5 million under the luxury tax. If you back out Keon Ellis's $2 million, now you're $7 million under the luxury tax. $7 million is not what Keon Ellis was looking for. That's not at all what he was looking for.
Mm.
So not only that, but you would still have to try to improve the team. That's saying no to Trey Lyles. It's saying no to Jake LaRavia, saying no to every other veteran that you might have been able to bring in. Mm-hmm. It's saying no to another backup, potential backup point guard.
Mm-hmm.
You would eat up all of the space. And it's unfortunate for Keon that he's in this situation. But at the same time, like, there is a process in place here where he's now going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But the Kings can start working on a long-term contract with Keon at any minute. Mm-hmm. They can already have a deal in place for him for next year. Mm-hmm. He's just going to have to play for less this year. Now, if I'm Keon, oof, I'm pissed.
Man.
If I'm his representation, I'm not happy.
Because you're viewing this, if you're Keon Ellis, like you said, you just laid out the business side of it for the Kings. And like I said, I understand all that. But coming at this from Keon Ellis's perspective, like, hey, I'm your one guard who is a 3-and-D player.
Yes.
I'm the guy. When Mike Brown got fired, the discussion was about he didn't play me enough. And now all of a sudden, I'm going to make... And again, you can say he's going to work out an extension, this and that. But consider, option A is, I'm Keon Ellis. I could be playing for $12 million this year. Yep. I'm just going to say 12. Just to whatever number. $12 million this year. Let's say that's his number.
Yep.
And the Kings said, actually, we're going to pay you $2 million this year. We are robbing you of a year in your mid-20s where you could have made $12 million. We're going to take that $10 million away from you. But hey, we got down the line.
We'll pay you.
We'll pay you.
We promise. Like,
and maybe Keon's sitting there and going, I get it. I understand. And the Kings may have said, hey, we'll make it up to you on the back end. We were going to pay you 12, we'll pay you 14 a year. What? Maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe that's something they've worked out. But again, on the surface, the optics of this for the Kings, it looks like they went, bah, he'll survive. He'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, like, really, I feel bad for Keon because it's not just that. Like, when you look around and Devin Carter's can make three times what you make, mm-hmm. or the rookie who just got picked with a 24th pick is going to make $1 million more than you, mm-hmm. like a full 50% more than you on the season, that doesn't feel good. And, you know, Keon's a young dude. He's got, you know, he's got bills to pay. And mm-hmm. I know we're talking about $2 million, but live in the state of California. You live a certain lifestyle because you're an NBA player. Like, this is, it's just
part of the
business.
It's not that they're keeping him in poverty.
No.
It's that he could have been playing for, what, 500 times-ish what he's making?
Yeah. I think it's a bummer that this is the way it's playing out, but we told you guys in the beginning, the priority with this team, they have got to find a starting point guard. They mm-hmm. do not have one, and that is going to cost money. And the fact that the Kings couldn't trade for one, they haven't been able to trade for one up to today, means that they're going to have to sign one. And the easiest way to sign one is to use your mid-level exception of $14 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that money is likely going to Dennis Schroeder today. There's really not a whole lot the Kings can do about it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to pay to get a good player, and like, look, is Dennis Schroeder like on my top five point guard list? Absolutely not. But he's the best of the unrestricted free agents on the market.
I agree with you.
I don't think it's even close. Like, not to disparage Tyus or Trey Jones, I think this is the best free agent point guard that you can probably bring in. He's a guy who has been a starter, mm-hmm. who's come off the bench, who has been very good for some teams. He's bounced around the league, but that doesn't change the fact that, you know, again, this is a guy who is wanted by other teams and you're going to have to pay to get.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at like a full mid-level, you're looking at, I think it's 2 year, 28.8 is roughly what he would make using the full mid-level exception.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, realistically, this is on the Kings to go find ways to clear up more cap space or to go out and trade some of these other pieces to go get some of that money that opens things up. But the way that the league works, the way that the, you know, sort of the mechanisms that Keon's deal was due on the 29th and that the next day is free agency starting, this is the
legal negotiating window opens.
Yes, exactly. It just made things really awkward and difficult. If the Kings would have been able to trade for a point guard last week, then I don't think we would be in the same situation. And they waited, from what I know, mm-hmm. as long as possible to try to figure something out
sure.
before doing this, you know, mm-hmm. basically picking up Keon's option. And maybe they're able to, you know, come back tomorrow and say, hey, look, we'll give you an extra million a year on the deal we were going to give you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you an extra million a year if you sign a 4-year deal right now. Mm-hmm. So as opposed to, you know, him getting potentially like $14 million a year, mm-hmm. we'll give you 15 and we'll just try sure. to smooth it out.
Yeah.
And we're sorry it had to work out this way, but you have to understand the dynamics.
Yeah. yeah.
And you hope that they can figure something out.
So I have a bunch of stuff to say on the Dennis Schroeder thing, and we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't blame the Kings for maneuvering this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the end of the world.
No.
The franchise isn't taking a step backward today. At least not in my opinion. But I also understand the consternation from people who don't trust the Kings to do this the right way.
Yeah.
We can say, hey, yeah, you got to do this. And if they did this, and you can tell Keon this and work out a deal later. I understand why there are people who are like, I get all that, but I don't trust them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust that the Kings have done this the right way or that they're going to continue doing this the right way. So I totally understand the people that are in that camp, but I also understand the business side of it and the financial side of it and mm-hmm. why the Kings operated this way. It's a tough needle to thread, for sure. We'll have more on the Keon Ellis situation. We'll have more on the Dennis Schroeder situation. 3 p.m. today, the NBA's legal negotiating window opens up. We've heard a lot about Dennis Schroeder. What else are the Kings going to do? We'll talk about that next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you till noon. This is The Insiders here on ESPN 1320. It is Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
3 p.m. today, the NBA's legal negotiating window opens for free agency. Those deals that are agreed to between now, starting today, can be officially signed on July 6th. So you'll see a lot of phrasing like has agreed to terms or has agreed to a contract or will sign a deal or team is expected to sign. Mm-hmm. Dennis Schroeder is going to be the first name that comes up for the Kings. What do you think? 301?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they'll wait a little bit, but mm-hmm. the thing that's crazy with the Schroeder stuff is watching it, and regardless of independent reporting locally, including from you, Mark Stein and Jake Fisher in their Substack first reported like last week. It's crazy how fast this happened. The Kings were considered by some teams to be among the leaders to pursue Dennis Schroeder. Just all the caveated language you can have.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like 2 days later, the Kings are considered among the favorites to sign Dennis Schroeder. And then like later that night, or maybe early the next day, we got the Kings are the favorites to sign Dennis Schroeder, considered the favorite to sign Dennis Schroeder. And then we got an update yesterday that was, yeah, it's like 2 and 30-ish million.
Yeah.
It was how did they phrase it exactly? 2 years and approaching but not exceeding 30 million, I think was the phrasing. But either way, it went in less than a week. It went from, yeah, the Kings have interest in Dennis Schroeder to like, here's what the deal looks like. Oh, all right. So the Kings are going to sign Dennis Schroeder. Got it.
It's weird how this one's played out, but like initially, Schroeder's agent was trying to, from what I could tell, was trying to drum up business with the Detroit Pistons. He was
that
trying
is a
to get
1,000% how it read.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. not only that, but that's what I had heard from executives in the league. Like, oh no,
sure.
Yeah, most people believe this is Schroeder's people trying to get more money, trying to lock in at that mid-level exception with the Detroit Pistons. But then the Pistons get in this weird situation where they're chasing a bunch of restricted free agents. Like, they have their eyes set on a couple of guys, mm-hmm. but they're telling Schroeder like, hey, we'll come back to you, but you're going to have to wait. And his people are like, well, we're not waiting and then having all the money dry up mm-hmm. because the Kings are, you know, as a team, they're looking for a point guard right now. Their priority is to find a point guard.
Right.
So that means that if Dennis Schroeder isn't available on day one of free agency, what about Tyus Jones? What about Trey Jones? Mm-hmm. What about Tyus and Trey Jones? Mm-hmm. What about a Malcolm Brogdon? Mm-hmm. You know,
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, the Kings have to move. They mm-hmm. don't have time to wait for something. Mm-hmm. And so the Schroeder like noise got louder and louder, especially on Saturday. But again, like there is no like legal negotiating window right now. So the fact that like we kind of know that there's a potential for this is a bit crazy that it's this far out there. Mm-hmm. And again, like from, you know, the mid levels at $14.1 million this year, you can only give a free agent that is not your own free agent that you don't have bird rights to. You can mm-hmm. only give him a 5% raise. So you can do the math pretty quick. That's like $700,000 for the second year. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at a 2-year, like $28.8 million deal, if that's what they choose to do. Mm-hmm. And I would be very surprised if that's not what they choose to do. I mean, we talked about it. He is like realistically, he might not be like anything better than what we've talked about in the past, like the Darren Collison level of point mm-hmm. guard. And I feel bad using Darren's name all the time like this, but that's what it is. It's like this specific level of point guard that can get you by for a season yes. or two. He's not above that. And I don't think he's below that, but he is a very like accomplished NBA player, a very accomplished international player.
2023 FIBA World Cup MVP.
Yeah, there we go.
And gold medalist.
Yeah. I mean, the guy has talent, and, mm-hmm. and to be honest with you, he can run this style of offense. Mm-hmm. He's not going to give you De'Aaron Fox 25 points per game, but all of the other stuff he's probably going to give you that De'Aaron brought.
I'm in two camps with the Dennis Schroeder thing. One is it feels disappointing when the names we were throwing around were Ja Morant and Trae Young and Tyrese Maxey and Darius Garland. The Dennis Schroeder thing in that regard feels disappointing.
Yeah.
But you just laid out why Dennis Schroeder in a vacuum is fine. If you're looking, what I think the Kings are trying to do, and I could be wrong here, and if I am, please let me know because I don't want to lead people astray, but it feels to me like they know, hey, this situation we're in, this contractual situation we're in, is tough. There's not a big market for DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. There's not a big market for Zach LaVine. There's not a big market for Domantas Sabonis. So this idea that like, hey, shed all your big contracts, get all these picks, tank, and start over, that option is not there. That path is closed. So instead, bringing in Dennis Schroeder on a 2-year, $28.8 million deal, mm-hmm. that gives you a chance this year because look, if you're stuck this year, If you are handcuffed this year to this roster, you go, okay, gap year was the term that D'Lo kept using on Friday.
Yeah.
It's like it's a gap year, right? So he hates the phrase, but we're here. It's kind of like they've been forced into that. So what Dennis Schroeder does is it gives you a chance to just be competitive this year.
Mm-hmm.
Can you be relevant? Maybe it's not a top six seed. Maybe it's not in that mix. But can you be in the play-in again? Can you just keep from being the Jazz, right? So I think that's what that does. And then, worst case, you have a $14.4 million, 14.4-ish?
Mm-hmm.
You have $14-ish million expiring contract to work with next offseason.
Yeah.
Or maybe Dennis Schroeder tears it up and you can trade him at the deadline. Like there is so much. I get why the Schroeder thing feels disappointing.
Yep,
I 100% understand. I feel the same way. But on the other hand, he doesn't suck. This is not a bad player. This is not a. He's inconsistent as a 3-point shooter, but he's had seasons where he shoots it at 40%, or he's had stretches where he shoots it at 40%. I think he's 34% for his career. He can handle the basketball. He can distribute. He does a little bit of everything. He's a super pesky defender, just a pain in the ass defensively.
He plays like, with pace.
When you talk yeah. about setting culture and you talk about bringing in the right guys, this is a guy who's going to go out and play, I think, the style that they want to play.
Yeah.
And so, again, could you have done better in the trade market? Yeah, 1,000%. Could you have done better in the free agent market? If probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so. And, you know, again, like people can bring up Trey Mann. I'm a big Trey Mann fan. He was supposed to be a restricted free agent, but Charlotte decided not to give him a qualifying offer yesterday, which was at almost $7 million. So he's available, and he's young. He's 24 years old, but he's also never run a team on his own. And on top of that, he's had massive injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he missed most of last season with a back injury, I believe. So, yeah, like, would I take a gamble on a guy like Trey Mann? I would, but I wouldn't take a gamble on Trey Mann over Dennis Schroeder.
Right, exactly.
No. If you want to sign Dennis Schroeder and then come back and bring in Trey Mann to compete for minutes, okay, that's fine. Because the Kings still don't have a backup point guard. So, like, but there's a lot of work to do on this roster still.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just, like, can you move DeMar DeRozan? Is Malik Monk going to be part of the team? Are you going to switch everything up and trade Domantas Sabonis? Like, can you move Zach LaVine?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that any of those things are going to happen at this point. Like, we've talked about it so often. Like, do you think one, two, or three of the big three will be back next season? It's really sounding more and more like all three will be back.
I went from maybe I was 90-10. If you had set the over-under at one
mm-hmm.
of those players being gone this offseason, I would have hammered the over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I would have, I thought at least one, I guess one doesn't really work. If you had set it at half, I'm sorry. If you had set it at half,
mm-hmm.
I would have hammered the over. I'd been like, DeMar's gone for sure. They might be able to get something for LaVine. I was so convinced of that. I'm now like 75-25 the other way.
Yeah.
Where I think they're all three just going to be back. And so I think the moves you're going to see are in service of trying to build a competitive group around that trio.
Yeah.
Domantas Sabonis, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan. Whether you think they can do it or not, I don't personally.
Yep.
I think you're, again, calling it a gap year is probably a nicer thing than calling it a waste of a year.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do think I'm not laying this at Scott Perry's feet necessarily, or Doug Christie's for that matter, because this is just kind of the hand they've been dealt.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. I don't know that there's people falling over themselves to get Zach LaVine or DeMar DeRozan or Domantas Sabonis. So this is what you got.
Yeah.
And so instead of going to hell with it, that's going to be our three guys. Forget spending money. We're not going to spend anything. We'll get as cheap as possible at every spot and redo this again next year. No, you go get Dennis Schroeder. I don't think signing Dennis Schroeder takes Malcolm Brogdon or Russell Westbrook off the table.
Nope.
Both names tied to the Kings between Mark Stein and Jake Fisher. And then you've got the Trey Mann situation. His team option was declined by Charlotte. This does not, it's not, oh, Dennis Schroeder is their answer. I think Dennis Schroeder is a Band-Aid.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I also think, to be honest with you, I think Zach LaVine is a Band-Aid, and I think DeMar DeRozan is a Band-Aid.
Are we going to call it a Band-Aid year?
Yeah, maybe it is a Band-Aid year.
Okay.
Because, like, honestly, at the end of this season, you know, you have to make a decision on whether you're going to pay DeMar DeRozan $10 million or you're going to pay him $26 million.
Yeah.
And
$10 million to not be on the team or $26 million to be on the team.
Yeah, so if he makes it to that point,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess that he's not going to be on the roster next season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because, like, look, it's not just Keon Ellis that has to get paid here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this dynamic that people are missing, that Keegan Murray is also up for a contract extension this summer that will kick in not this season, but the following season.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't always just about even today. A lot of times it's about what's going to happen next season
mm-hmm.
and what your contract situation is going to be then
mm-hmm.
because the salary cap keeps going up 10%. Like, people should, like, yeah. The salary cap, the way that they're,
that's set in stone.
Yeah, they're doing a smoothing, right? So they got all this new money coming in.
Smoothing's kind of crazy.
A smoothing of the cap. yeah, they have all this money coming in from the new television deal, mm-hmm. but instead of like throwing it all on one season and having a bunch of silly contracts that don't make any sense because people have too much money, they're doing a smoothing of the salary cap where they're doing 10% a year.
Right.
Well, here's the problem with that. The problem is everyone's thinking, okay, well, $10 million is a lot when the salary cap's already, like this year it's 155. That means the next year it goes up to 170.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sign your own free agents, they get 8% raises every year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not really gaining that money because a player like Domantas Sabonis, Zach mm-hmm. LaVine, who signed a contract with his own team, like all of these players, the Keegan Murray contract, the name that player that the Kings have, they're getting 8% raises. So that realistically means that the salary cap going up 2%, if you have mainly your own players, it's going up 2%
mm-hmm.
because you've already dedicated that salary and 8% raises to your players. So it's complicated, but the Kings have to be aggressive and try to find homes for some of these guys that don't make up like what your long-term future is. And whether Scott Perry can do that or not, I don't know.
No idea.
But that's a challenge ahead. And so far, he has not been able to. So,
yeah, and that's I think where a lot of the consternation comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Is this is a new GM, and I think there was an expectation of wholesale changes and everything's going to look different. They're going to flip the roster over, and everything's going to be. And that might be the case, but it might have to be next year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really tough to walk that line, though.
Yeah.
It's really tough if you're Scott Perry to sit down and go, we need to find a point guard for this team, and have that be taken as find a long-term answer at point guard. And they just didn't have the assets to do it, or they didn't have the willing trade partners to do that
mm-hmm.
because it wasn't going to happen via free agency. So I just, it's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask a fan base to go, hey, all these big moves, all this hope for change, not happening this year, but promise next year.
Yeah.
Just wait. Everybody wait. Like, nah, man, I want to wait.
Well, that, and I'll tell you, like, the worst part of all of this, right? The worst part of all of it is that you allowed a general manager on the way out the door to make a move. And the reason I bring this up again, it's not to just throw salt in the wound of the mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox people out there that love De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
De'Aaron Fox makes $37 million this year, right? Mm-hmm. And he plays the position of need that you have.
Yep.
Zach LaVine makes $47 million, $47.5 million. You brought in a player who makes $10.5 million more than the player that you went out and does not play a position of need. So not only do you have to backfill the position that De'Aaron Fox left, but you also have $10 million less to do it. So I hate to tell people this, but if you want to know where Keon Ellis's money went, it's right there. Yep. It's in that transaction. You want to know why there's a good chance Jake LaRavia won't be back? It's right there.
Man.
And that's just the reality of the situation that Scott Perry inherited, did not create. He inherited this situation where he has no option but to go get a point guard. And if he can't trade for a point guard, and he couldn't do that on draft night, he couldn't do it in the days building up to draft night when multiple point guards were traded. And now we get to this point where you're going into free agency and trades happen right here, but also a lot of teams are like, you know what? We're going to focus on free agency, and then we'll deal with trades.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just puts the Kings in a bad situation. So
they're in a really hard spot.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why taking on this job was not simple, and it's why they better give Scott, and for that matter, Doug Christie, a whole bunch of leeway here, because this is not a situation that either one of them created, but it's one that they've got to fight through because there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
It's just 1 or 2 years down the road when, again, DeRozan's money falls off, followed by Zach LaVine's money falling off, and that's when maybe they can make moves.
Right.
By that point, I mean, like, who, like, you it's, risk everyone being alienated by
is,
that point.
It is impossible to ask a fan base that went 16 years without a playoff appearance, got one, had it last one round, and then 2 years of missing the playoffs again. It is impossible to ask that fan base, hey, chill, give us like 3 years to get all this money off the books, and then we'll go.
Yep.
That's impossible. You can't do that. You cannot do that. I understand it's a hard situation, but like, brother, you're getting paid millions to figure out the hard situations.
Yep.
And your solution cannot be, hey, we'll rebuild, but once all the money's off the books, we're going to wait 3 years and then we're going to figure it out. Like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
That's insane. Also insane. This might be opening up a can of worms we can't get all the way into here in 30 seconds, but giving Nick Clifford number 5 is crazy. That's an insane thing to do.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. That's pretty wild.
Like, I'm not saying you needed to retire number 5, but can we wait a season? Can we get a full season separated first?
That's tough.
That was crazy. All right. We'll have more on the Kings offseason, of course, and more NBA news for you. We got a trade idea from ESPN we got to dive into as well. But we got to put a pin in the NBA because the NFL decided to go on a little bender this morning. We'll talk about that briefly before we dive back into the Kings offseason discussion that will continue not only through the second hour, but all day here on ESPN 1320. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and this is ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, that's James. I'm Kyle. We have a bunch more NBA stuff to get into.
Talk
about LeBron picking up his $52 million player option and then immediately having his agent, Rich Paul, put out a statement that's like, not really picking up the option. Picking up the option tentatively.
It's very strange. Well, we also, big shout out to...
about Jonathan Kuminga, too.
Yeah, the great Mitch Richmond, 60th birthday today.
Wow.
And also a tremendous shout out to our friend Gary Gerald.
Big 4-0 for G-Man.
Yeah, he's also celebrating a substantial birthday today.
Yeah, like, 40 years old.
He's such a good dude. Like, one of my favorite people
best.
Ever.
Yeah. Just the best.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kings Radio voice Gary Gerald. Also, incredible shoe game.
Oh yeah.
Better shoe game than most people in the media. Crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways.
He's got a bunch of different kicks that you would never expect.
Oh my
for
god.
Him
His
have.
Collection of Nikes is just out of control. Sits down at the press conference, look down, and G Man's got the freshest shoes on in the whole place every time.
Yep.
All right. Let's put a pin in the NBA stuff very, very briefly. We have a ton of stuff to get to there. Like I said, we got to talk about Jonathan Kuminga and the Kings because that's one of those things that you see a little smoke.
Yeah.
And you're like, whatever. And then the smoke just kind of keeps coming.
Lingers.
And it's just around and you forget about it. And then you're like, is that smoke over there? So... It's just lingering enough that we gotta keep talking about it. So we'll talk about the Jonathan Kuminga thing for the Kings. ESPN's Kevin Pelton has a really interesting idea for a trade that I don't think is grounded in anything other than just yapping.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about the idea.
Okay.
But driving in this morning and the Slack notifications for my job with USA Today, with the NFL Wires, NinersWire.com. Check it out today. Slack notifications just start going crazy. And not in the channel where we complain about our platform. In the channel where, like, oh, things are happening.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it is June 30th. It is 8:20 in the morning.
Mm.
What are we talking about? Why is this? And then I look... And the Steelers and Dolphins have executed a massive trade where Jalen Ramsey and tight end Jonnu Smith, along with a 2027 seventh-round draft pick, are going to Pittsburgh in exchange for Minkah Fitzpatrick and a 2027 fifth-round pick. And Jalen Ramsey was a player that I had circled for San Francisco, less so for the Raiders, because I think the Raiders are in a different team building spot.
Mm-hmm.
But the 49ers spent this whole offseason like trying to get rid of money, trying to get rid of aging, less effective veterans, and then getting an injection of youth. But then you see that Jalen Ramsey is available for trade. And Jalen Ramsey has been available for trade for a month. And I'm like, why do they not get in on this? Because his contract is such that if he's really bad, if he's just terrible, you can cut him next year. And yeah, you got to eat some dead money, but it's not a crazy amount. And if he's good, like the contract's pretty reasonable. And if maybe he's ineffective at cornerback, he's so versatile, you can move him to safety. He's just a really good player to have around. If you can get him for a mid-round pick, like, man, that's a pretty good... And then you see the deal he was actually involved in. It's like, oh, they couldn't go play in that pool.
No. And then they gave him, a pay bump, and his salary went up to like $26 million for the year.
Oh, and they had to pay him? I'm out.
Yeah, yeah. He got a small pay bump to make this transaction. And like, look, Jonnu Smith, out of nowhere, decided to be a real NFL tight end this last year.
Jonnu Smith's a gangster, dude.
He's almost 30. It feels like Jonnu Smith has been in the league for like 14 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure does.
And he's played for, you know, like five or six teams. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he goes 88 catches for 884 yards and eight touchdowns. Some symmetry. Symmetry there. Yeah.
Jonnu Smith, when he came out of, I think it was Florida Atlantic. Might have been Florida International, Florida Atlantic, Florida International, Florida Tech, Florida International, I think. Anyways, one of the Florida schools.
Florida International.
Thank you. I was covering the Titans at the time. I was doing TitansWire.com. I was blogging about the Titans.
Yep.
And as a big Niner fan, and as you know who Delanie Walker is, Delanie Walker was a Pro Bowler with the Titans, had a second kind of career, had a career resurgence with Tennessee where he became this big pass catcher. And Jonnu Smith, like the comp, the easy comp was Delanie Walker. And you're going, wow, hey, they're just going to have Delanie Walker age out. And have and he just hasn't been able to quite figure it out. And then last year, like you said, just light bulb turned on.
Oh, yeah.
And he lit it up for Miami.
He was incredible for Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a very good midseason fantasy football pickup, too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's such a weird team for me. Because they get DK Metcalf. They signed Darius Slay. They traded for Jalen Ramsey. They trade for Jonnu Smith. Aaron Rodgers is another quarterback. They traded away George Pickens.
Oh, yeah.
Najee Harris is gone. They're just like, hey, 4 years ago, I'd have been so into this team.
Yeah.
And they're gonna get the same treatment the Jets got. I think they could be better than the Jets. Pittsburgh's really talented. Their defense is sick. Mike Tomlin's an amazing coach. But they're going to get the like, hey, but you're going to see people picking the Steelers to go to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's probably not.
A lot of name value here.
Yeah.
It's like Russell Westbrook, right? Like Russell Westbrook is still a pretty good player.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the name value outweighs the player at this point.
Oh, I totally agree.
And I don't want to, again, I don't think, this is not a Russell Westbrook stinks. Like if the Kings wind up signing Russell Westbrook to either be their starting point guard or their backup point guard, like there's way worse you could do. Like he's still liable to go for a triple-double any night. So I don't want to turn this into a Russell Westbrook hate thing, but I do think that the name value helps him in terms of like, oh, we got to get that guy.
Yeah.
Because Russell Westbrook is a top 75 player of all time. He's a former MVP. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. That's how I feel about the Pittsburgh Steelers and Aaron Rodgers at this point.
No, totally.
You're just going to fall into that trap of look at all that Darius Slay, Jalen Ramsey, and Aaron Rodgers, TJ Watt. Oh, my God. They're going to be good. I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
No. And like, look, the Russell Westbrook thing, he'll be 37 later this year. Like in November, I think he'll be 37. And his stats have steadily declined over the last couple of years. Turnover numbers are up. Shooting numbers are, you know, around where he's been throughout his career. But really, the three-point shot isn't there. Like, I think, again, today's version of Dennis Schroeder is better than today's version of Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
And that's tough, but, you know, it is what it is. Like, if the Kings have to go out there and in order to acquire a player, they've got to spend some money, I get it why you would choose, you know, one player over another, especially with the age of Westbrook.
Yeah, it's not even a question for me. And Damian's whole thing is Westbrook wouldn't have I think I agree with him. Westbrook wouldn't have opted out if he didn't have a team lined up and a contract lined up.
Yeah.
And I would pretty seriously doubt that Sacramento.
No. It's probably the Dallas Mavericks who clearly have an opening at point guard for at least half the season and maybe more with Kyrie Irving, down with the ACL tear.
I will say this about Russell Westbrook. One, you just mentioned he's turning 37. The fact is that his athleticism is still as prevalent as it is, mm-hmm. is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, he was a player that I was expecting by 32, 33, you were going to see this really steep decline. Nah, he works, man. Very, very much keeps himself in shape.
Oh, yeah, he's a physically gifted athlete. And not only that, he plays with crazy force. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, there are plenty of times where it would have been fine for the Kings to go out and go get Russell Westbrook as a backup point guard. And then, you know, of course, the Malik Monk era came into play, and mm-hmm. it's like, okay, you'd much rather have Malik, who's just like an energizer bunny off the bench, mm-hmm. as opposed to a guy like Russell Westbrook.
And younger.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, like, look, I think that there are worse things that the Kings could do, but I'm with you when you're looking at, like, the Steelers. It does feel like they're just chasing name recognition,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't always play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it doesn't appear to be just in the Russell Westbrook conversation. The Kings are tied to him, but I think it's very, I don't think it's about like, hey, just get this name in. Let's get this guy in here. And I think it's very much, hey, need a backup point guard. He's a backup point guard.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, the Kings are trying to win. They're trying to win games.
Yeah, they're not punting this year.
No. And when we say gap year or anything else, it's a gap year in like...
Financially.
Financially and also like in developing... Like who exactly you are. You're trying to build who you're going to be,
mm-hmm.
but it's with players that a lot of them won't be here when you actually become the team that you hope
to
be.
That's it. Yeah. You're not signing Dennis Schroeder or Russell Westbrook to be part of a core. You're trying to maintain relevance until you pick a path.
Exactly.
So. Anyways. We'll keep talking. I wanna get into the Russell Westbrook and Malcolm Brogdon discussion.
Yeah.
Because those are two players who were tied to the Sacramento Kings by Mark Stein and Jake Fisher. I want to talk about that. And ESPN has a trade idea for the Kings that if it's on the table, I don't know why they're not calling it in right now.
Yeah.
We'll tell you what it is. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is the Insiders. Second hour coming up next here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Theater.